information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
The law.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
Nobody gives us rhyme or reason. Have one doubt, they call it treason. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 187 for MediaMonarchy.com. It's September 17th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, false priests and Portland protests, Intel porn and weapon ads, drug wars, superbugs and the enemy gene, food carts, Cabbage Gate, and Small World, plus all the latest from all the greatest alternative news sites, all that, so much more, jam-packed. September 17th, 2010, episode 187 for MediaMonarchy.com.
Everything's born in shame. It's not just me. Particle wave duality.
Love Breaks the Machine. Yes, indeed, it does, my friends. That's brand new music from Of Montreal. Crazy, insane, super pop band. They're on an indie label. They've been on Polyvinyl forever. They could have made the jump to a major many, many years ago. And fortunately, I think we are seeing a lot of independent bands stay on independent labels and have great success, like Spoon or Arcade Fire or many, many others. That's from their brand new record called False Priest, and that seems pretty apt today as Joey Ratz makes the rounds. And of course, we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. We should also mention that that song, Enemy Gene, features Janelle Monáe, who also has an interesting album of her own out called The Arch Android. Think of it as a thinking person's Lady Gaga. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. This is episode 187, and it's September 17th, 2010. And as always, we are broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And of course, thanks to our great affiliates who carry the show, rebroadcast the show, help spread the word about MediaMonarchy.com, such as ZeroPointRadio.com, blasting it out worldwide, live as we speak, simulcast. And they also kick it out in Casper, Wyoming, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM. And of course, the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net. And then we also thank Free Radio Olympia, FROlympia.org, 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington. BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net on 104.1 FM, Patriot Radio in La Mesa, Texas on 89.9, and of course, thanks to Radio23.org, high-quality episodes suitable for rebroadcast. If you have an alternative media outlet, you don't have to ask. Just get the high-quality version if you're going to restream it, and I appreciate it. And you know, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, Ustream, which we are streaming live video as we speak right now. Blip.tv, Cafe Press, you can get a Media Monarchy t-shirt. Email at Gmail, MediaMonarchy at Gmail. Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, Archive.org. And of course, you can donate. Your support helps keep alternative media going. I sent out the last batch, the most recent batch of DVDs, 2020 Hindsight, out to folks. And again, thanks to Freddie and Gary and Dave and everybody out there. It's much appreciated. Speaking of appreciated, well, I'll get into that. Hold on a second. I should also mention at this point, too, if you don't make it to the end, which you should, I don't see why not, it's the most power-packed weekly two-hour radio show you're likely to find anywhere. I took my college radio programming skills from the East Coast and brought them over here, and now you got alternative news and politics remixed with the context and the subtext. We are nonpartisan. Big tent, everybody's welcome, because the paradigm is shifting. Something is happening. But there will not be a live show next week. We're going to take next week off. I've got family in town, and I deserve a break as well. So, no show next week. However, we will return October 1st with episode 188. As we always like to do, we like to glance at the breaking news to see what the hell's going on in this insane world. And we see Continental and United shareholders approve combo. Hurricane Carl with a K batters Mexico as it nears landfall. And of course, former Hitler Youth Joey Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict, parading around the world. And we'll get to the related updates there. But damn, I love when a plan comes together, my friends, and a huge thanks to all the folks out there who helped pull this off. This time, last week, on episode 186, I was telling you about the idea I hatched to combat the Quran burning hysteria, that we were going to burn the 9/11 Commission report. Long story short, here we are a week later, and I'll just tell you, on the 9th anniversary of 9/11, local activists from Portland, Oregon gathered together to burn copies of the 9/11 Commission report. Myself of MediaMonarchy.com and my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org thank everybody that came out to the event. It was on the 9th anniversary. In the course of 48 hours, we had press release. We sent it out to all the local media, newspaper, TV, radio. One station came out, and that's Coin 6 News. K-O-I-N, coinlocal6.com. And again, thanks to everybody, and it was great to meet folks out there. And again, it's all about kind of transcending these virtual tools that let us do all these things and try and make connections in the real world, because that's where it's going to count. But folks like Marshall and Carrie Ann and Nate and all kinds of other folks, huge thanks. Again, don't hate the media, become the media. I also hope that this maybe shows that press releases can get results. I'm not saying if you send out a press release, everybody's going to show up for every little thing you do. But they're certainly not going to come out if they have no idea about it. So I think successfully we were able to hijack the, again, false paradigms that they keep all of us in, and we fight amongst each other on our class and identity differences. But we never look up and see who's causing all the problems because, as I think hopefully a lot of, if not most of you folks, know from doing your own research, and that's the main point. What I try and do on the show and what I try and do on the site is just lay out a path that I try to lay down. And again, I'm just figuring all this out myself. We have to communicate and share this information. It has to go somewhere bigger. We can't just sit at our computers at night. As easy and fun as that can be. I also want to thank Mike at GroundZeroTV.org. He's been doing a lot of the video work for Clyde Lewis. And we'll cover some of that, too, as we go through. We also want to thank all the folks who picked up the story. And that was why I sort of broadcast it so loudly last week, is that I wanted to get this meme out there. There were guys, I think, in North Carolina and other places who had videos and did the same thing. It was already heating up, if you will. But when we got the story and Coin 6 ran it on the news, I was able to get it on VHS tape, run that to a DV cam, then rip that to the computer and put that up to YouTube. And now you can see it on youtube.com/MediaMonarchy, where in under a week, almost 5,000 people have watched it. It has gone gangbusters. And again, huge thanks. InfoWars picked it up. Huge thanks to them. The Excavator picked it up. Huge thanks to Disquiet Reservations, .blogspot.com, and freedomsphoenix.com, and all the other places that picked it up. Again, I don't know what else to say. I also want to mention, as I look at my notes and look at what's on the website as well, again, we're swimming in information. But information is just kind of raw data. We have to kind of process it into some kind of knowledge, hopefully. I was listening to the most recent radio show from Webster Tarpley, and in talking about the Terry Jones Quran burning hysteria, that again, we hijacked the meme. We knew the media would be interested in book burning because that's the bread and circus that's going on right now. That's the show. That's the summertime show that, again, you got to be careful when we see all the summer tabloid garbage that usually is covering up something that blows up in our face sometime around now. October surprise style. Tarpley made an interesting point that had a bit of synchronicity for me, comparing Terry Jones and even going into a little bit of his background that, of course, contains the military and Germany and basically provocateur work. And that's what you see, all these folks. They may not be directly connected to the feds, but they can be patsies or dupes or useful idiots, and they can fulfill a purpose, just like the Westboro. But Tarpley referred to him as Elmer Gantry, which is a book who wrote, off the top of my head, I can't come up with it. But there's a film, famous film, 1960, Burt Lancaster won Best Actor as a huckster, charlatan, fake preacher who's really a womanizer and a drinker. Referring to Terry Jones as Elmer Gantry, one, we always like to put things in pop culture terms. I think it makes it easier to process and makes it easier to kind of see and stir the stew that we're swimming in. But in a synchronistic way, I had that film. My girlfriend had it on her Netflix queue, and we already had it at the house. Hadn't watched it yet, and then to hear the relation that, again, it's what I love, and it's why I do this. Let's blast through the related 9/11 plus 9 updates, the sort of day after updates that, again, all of the things and all the great street actions that took place all around the world for 9/11 truth and reconciliation, as we're going to see. But a quick rundown of some of the related headlines that, again, are posted up, and everything kind of links around to each other on the main YouTube video that has gone viral of Portland Group burning the 9/11 Commission report on the 9/11 anniversary. Everything's posted up under that. Unsettled Nation marks 9/11 with rituals of sorrow. Put quite bluntly from the Associated Press. And this should have gotten its own post. It did last year. And now, again, it happens again. And just like we see on many, many levels, they kind of wear down our resistance. We can fight against something for a while, but attrition gets us down, man. Straight from WhiteHouse.gov, continuation of the national emergency with respect to certain terrorist attacks. That's right, my friends. For the second year in a row, Obamasiyah Barry Satoru has continued the declaration of national emergency put in September 19th, 2001. So now, 9 years plus, we are still under the emergency declaration that essentially kicks in all the other provisions, all the other national security decision directives, presidential decision directives, signing statements, executive orders, continuity of government that Peter Dale Scott has done so much fantastic work on. Continuing down the list, again from the aforementioned Truth Excavator, 9/11 state of emergency, an era of madness and despair, getting into this continuity, continuation of the national emergency. We've got the head of Homeland Stupidity, Napolitano, saying terror threats are evolving. And we had an army, a quote-unquote army of NYPD cops keeping the peace at opposing 9/11 rallies near the mosque site. And of course, that's another provocateured CFR corporate media-funded fake battle. Don't get sucked in. Don't get sucked into all of these little ridiculous partisan battles. But let's see it from Gallup.com. 9 years after 9/11, few see terrorism as top U.S. problem. That's because it's not. And that's why they have to keep cranking it up. And that's why ridiculous regimes throughout history have used terror attacks, either capitalized on the rare real ones, or let them happen, make them happen on purpose. We will see many varieties of what is called false flag activity, acting like somebody else did the attack. We got another bombshell from a London think tank. This is on Sign of the Times. No Al-Qaeda threat. Surprise, surprise. And more good news, 9/11 victims' family refuses settlement, forces trial on corporate responsibility. That comes from the fantastic allgov.com. There's a great piece on jackbloodforum.com untangling the bizarre CIA links to the Ground Zero Mosque. Russia Today shedding extreme doubt on the official story of 9/11. Dick Gregory has begun a fast for 9/11 truth. Jerry Mazza has a great article on the making of 9/11 activists. And speaking of, activists put up a third beam on the 9th anniversary symbolizing building what? .org. More on that from 911blogger.com. You can see the video. An interesting addendum to that story And again, we're flying through things. Hopefully, folks keep up. You know, the beams that they put up to symbolize the towers. Activists put up a third beam to symbolize Building 7, the forgotten building. What was referred to last week on this show as the Zapruder film of 9/11. But the bizarre addendum to this story, Twin Towers Memorial Light confuses migrating birds. They didn't know what the hell was going on, and the lights had to be turned off just to get them back on track. But more good news, and again, it picks up, and I feel like I've seen this all around, and I see more folks who I would have thought or would have considered over the last many years to be part of, you know, the well-meaning left that never gets into questions of continuity of government, shadow government, false flag activities. But it's happening more and more and more. And now we've seen folks like Cindy Sheehan and many others come out straight for 9/11 truth and reconciliation. So here's a quick rundown on just some of the new additions to this loose, amazing 21st century movement called 9/11 truth.
A recent Associated Press GFK poll revealed that almost 6 Americans out of 10 oppose the Afghanistan war, for which they see no end in sight. This poll has given even further impetus to the 9/11 truth movement, which is comprised of thousands of people in the United States and around the world who reject the official account of the 9/11 attacks, which served as justification for the Afghanistan war in the first place. The truth movement draws its conclusions on the factual findings of an impressive list of highly qualified researchers who have compiled a solid body of evidence contradicting every major aspect of the official account and casting doubt on the true source and motives behind the 9/11 attacks. It is therefore as patriots and as concerned citizens that the 9/11 truth movement asks for a truly independent, transparent investigation to finally answer the many still unresolved questions surrounding the tragic crimes of September 11th, 2001. As admitted by the co-chair of the 9/11 Commission himself,
I don't believe for a minute that we got everything right. People will be investigating 9/11 for the next 100 years in this country. And they're going to find out some things that we missed.
For this purpose, various associations of professionals have been formed in the 9 years since 9/11. Among them are Pilots for 9/11 Truth, listing hundreds of former air controllers, civil and military pilots, and aviation experts from all over the world. Firefighters for 9/11 Truth, journalists and other media professionals for 9/11 Truth, intelligence officers for 9/11 Truth, including former top CIA analysts and former British Secret Service agents, lawyers for 9/11 Truth, medical professionals for 9/11 Truth, political leaders for 9/11 Truth, including members of the Japanese Parliament, former state and defense secretaries from different countries, and the honorary president of the Italian Supreme Court, religious leaders for 9/11 Truth, veterans for 9/11 Truth, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, counting over 1,200 architectural and engineering professionals. 3 new groups have just been formed and have been announced on September 9th in joint press conferences in New York and Los Angeles. They are Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth, which includes theater and film actors, playwriters, novelists, screenwriters, film and stage directors, singers, composers, and music performers from all over the world. Scientists for 9/11 Truth, with more than 60 signatories between astrophysicists, biologists, biochemists, medical scientists, chemists, computer scientists, ecologists, geologists, geophysicists, mathematicians, physicists, and science professors from all over the world. And U.S. military officers for 9/11 Truth, with Air Force pilots, Army, Navy, and defense experts questioning the military aspects of the official version of 9/11. All these people have looked at the evidence available and have become convinced that a new investigation is absolutely necessary to make sure that events like 9/11 never happen again in our country.
That was, of course, again, Daniel Sinjata, actor, celebrity, 9/11 truth activist. You know, I was on my way to the studio and the Max rolled by, which is the train here in town, the light rail, and of course it's always plastered with ads on the outside, but they had one with a bunch of ads for 2.5 minutes. Like, hey, there's Charlie Sheen, 9/11 truther. I even saw some 9/11 truth graffiti a few days ago, probably inspired no doubt by the anniversary. So let's go down the remaining few bits. And we're basically now to the point where these all have videos, but we're not going to play clips from all of these. Such as, artist Shepard Fairey questions the validity of the 9/11 story. You, of course, know Shepard Fairey is the guy who created Andre the Giant has a posse in the Obey campaign, which then turned into the Obama campaign. Lawrence Wilkerson, in a long interview on The Real News, says that what we just heard, the 9/11 Commission probably didn't get even 60% right. If that was you, if that was school, you would have failed. In a great bit, we can just listen to the first minute or so. Here is Dennis Kucinich calling for the aforementioned 9/11 truth and reconciliation.
As we observe the sad anniversary of September 11th, and we remember those souls who perished in the attacks, this is an important moment for us to talk about the path forward for the United States and the world from the catastrophe of 9/11. Now more than ever, our nation needs a path towards truth and reconciliation. Truth and reconciliation must find a way to be able to unfold before the American people. We will never be able to recover from the tremendous blow which struck this nation on 9/11 if we do not unfold the truth for the American people. The truth is, in the name of retaliation for 9/11, we attacked a nation which did not attack us. The truth is, the war against Iraq was based on lies. Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction, had no intention or capability of attacking the United States, had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda's role in 9/11. The truth must be known. And those who led the United States at that time, who took us on the path of continued destruction, must be held accountable. If we are to ever have this terrible burden of 9/11 transformed to a place where America can regain its role as a nation among nations.
That's, of course, Dennis Kucinich, and even more video. Press TV interviewed architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, ae911truth.org. They had massive press conferences, National Press Club, a great bit of coverage. And the last couple notes, like we said, other folks burning the 9/11 Commission report. There's a video out of North Carolina. There's another one. I have no idea even where it's from. But again, I want to link to them. I want them to all share and all spread with each other and put this idea out there. And we'll say. And fortunately, they use that. And again, I'm not going to play the clip here of my news appearance. I'm done patting myself on the back for it. But they used one little quick interview bit, but the rest of the voiceover was pretty much taken from the parts they didn't use. And the thing that I always want to point out about this is, yes, it was a ridiculous publicity stunt. Burning books is stupid. But drastic times call for drastic measures, and I regret nothing. So again, thanks to all the folks who helped make this happen, and hell, we'll do it again. This segues quite well into the latest from my man Clyde Lewis, groundzeromedia.org and groundzerotv.org. And of course, your donation really helps Clyde out. Buy the shows, buy the discs. Again, if you find any of this information useful, throwing $10 is a pretty easy move. Pray for Global Sustainability, and that is, of course, P-R-E-Y. The latest episode from Clyde Lewis, broadcast live originally out of Portland, Oregon, on KUFO 101.1 FM, The Rock Station. And also blasted out, again, by ZeroPointRadio.com. There's related video from Clyde going to our rep, Earl Blumenauer. You've probably heard me mention him a few times, and you even maybe have seen him on the Colbert Report with his bow tie and his bicycle commuting. He's one of those guys that, again, well-meaning left, really good on a couple things, but then so wrong on so many other things. Great video of Clyde going to Representative Earl Blumenauer's office, because, again, all our Congress critters were around, reading pages of information from architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, reading it onto the record. If you have a meeting, you can put onto the record whatever you want. We also want to mention, again, Clyde's next live show. That's going to be next Friday, September... No, that's not next Friday. It's a couple Fridays from now. Go to groundzeromedia.org to get it right. But it is called, provocatively enough, 9/11 was an inside joke. I'm surprised I hadn't heard anyone do that before. And again, that's one of the things I love about Clyde. Being able to pull so much from pop culture. So many good things coming. And again, I can't spend all the time that I'd like to. We're going to have Clyde back in the studio here very, very soon. Let's also now get into the latest episode of New World Next Week. We were on a break the previous week, so here we are back again. Afghan War equals heroin, Cabbage Gate, and of course our 9/11 culture jamming. That part we've already covered. The heroin and the cabbage we're going to get to here in just a little bit. Let me always tell you now that newworldnextweek.com is where you can get the high quality, super high quality versions of New World Next Week. Much bigger and higher quality than you would ever want to probably pull down on your pod randomly. But that's where the original QuickTime.mov files go. They look great. You can burn them off. You can help share them. And again, it's great for folks such as parents who are never going to listen to a crazy two-hour alternative media podcast. But maybe they're slowly coming along. NewWorldNextWeek.com. That leads us to the latest episode from my man James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Episode 145, You Are Being Gamed. This was quite a... I don't know, it sounds weird to say that it was a pleasurable surprise of this episode. That again, we've all been so kind of wrapped up, unfortunately, in all the things surrounding 9/11 plus 9. And again... that previous episode from Corbett Report, the massive 2+ hour episode with all those interviews. Still go back and catch that. But here we are, opening up the virtual Skinner box and peering into the future of gaming in the world of ubiquitous computing. When our daily life consists of interactions with computers, will there be any way to avoid amusing ourselves to death? Of course, referencing Neil Postman, this episode is really important for you to listen to. There's an amazing clip from a video that I do have linked up for you that basically kind of shows you where we're going. And of course, the folks from the establishment and foundation funded fronts like Carnegie Mellon are there to tell you all about it. It may sound like they're warning you about it, but they're just informing you, much like Huxley. It's all going to be a game. We're all going to be racking up points. Also, new interviews and videos, interviews with Bob Chapman, Manny Badillo, Eric Schein, Dan Fox. Those are all on CorbettReport.com, as well as the Sunday Update, getting into the latest state secrets ruling, the latest no Fourth Amendment ruling, and some other 9/11 culture jamming. That was a great clip I hadn't seen anywhere else, where 9/11 truth activists got behind the Elmer Gantry footage while they were live press conference and had 9/11 truth signs in the background, of course, until they were pushed away. You can't do that. It's not free speech. That's the Fourth Estate you're fucking with, buddy. James also put up another entry in Film Literature in the New World Order, his video series going into some of the seminal works that, again, just like we said, Huxley and things like Brave New World inform our world in more ways than one, or two, or three. 2001, of course, the Stanley Kubrick epic. I believe some of the previous entries in this series, I believe, go into Blade Runner and some other things. So, again, always a huge hat tip to CorbettReport.com. One of the hardest working alternative media sites out there, bar none, hands down. I did add one little extra link that I saw this morning in the You Are Being Gamed episode that James doesn't mention on his episode at all, but I just want to throw it in here because, oh, Super Mario Brothers turns 25 this week. We, of course, want to remind you that there was that strange Super Mario Brothers film that featured the Twin Towers blowing up and portals and all the fantastic synchronicities. Isn't that all? Always have to make sure, double check what we're going over. I think we're all set. I think that's all the alternative media. And again, I implore you to check all that stuff out. So much more stuff coming. And again, we're all trying to work together more and more and more and keep branching out and keep doing new things. So let's now move, since we're talking video games. And good God, I sure feel like if I can steal from Allen Ginsberg that I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by video games. And I was there too. I played a hell of a lot of 8-bit Nintendo, but that was in middle school. Tracking devices and small worlds, that's how we're going to start on cyberspacewar.com, where Time Magazine is asking the important question, have cell phones become personal tracking devices? What your phone could be telling the government. Yeah, stop the presses. Time Magazine finally tells us all about it. Smartphones do many things these days. Surf the net, send email, take photos and video, oh yeah, and make phone calls. But one thing they can do that phone companies don't advertise is spy on you. As long as you don't leave home without your phone, that handy gadget keeps a record of everywhere you go. A record the government can then get from your telephone company with no problems. The law is unclear in how easy it should be for the government to get its hands on this location data, which can reveal whether you've been going to church, attending a Tea Party rally, spending the night at a date's house, or visiting a cancer treatment center. A federal appeals court ruled last week that in some cases the government may need a search warrant, and while that's a step forward, it ain't good enough. The rule should be that government always needs a warrant to access your cell phone records and obtain data about where you've been. This goes into, of course, get into how your phone is constantly pinging towers every 7 seconds. And these are all things that we, of course, already knew and we've already reported to you, but now it's gotten to the point where even Time Magazine is telling you about it. And we're going to get into that story here in just a minute after we blast through the rest of these DEF CON headlines on cyberspacewar.com. Fired Google engineer stalked teens and spied on chats. That coming from always sensationalistic Gawker.com. And here you go. We could have put this back on the You Are Being Gamed links. Mom obsessed with video game, online game called Small Worlds. Neglects her kids and her dogs starved to death and I believe laid on the floor dead for weeks. And we covered this story a few weeks ago. I believe a Korean couple whose child died because they were obsessed with video games. Is this really where we're going? Is this really where we want to go? I love being on the web. But it's only about gathering up information. Our last note on this list of headlines, before I keep going, God, really? Still with the video games? Chase's online bank service was still facing problems. I'm not sure where it's at this point on this Friday morning, September 17th, but as of the last several days, Chase's online bank service was pretty much screwed and not working. So let's get more into this recent no Fourth Amendment ruling. We'll take it from threat level. Bowing to the Obama administration. Obamasiah Barry Satoru. A federal appeals court Monday gutted its own decision that had dramatically narrowed the government's search and seizure powers in the digital age. This 9-2 ruling by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals nullifies Miranda-style guidelines the court promulgated last year that were designed to protect Fourth Amendment privacy rights during court-authorized computer searches. Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan, as Solicitor General last year, had urged the court to reverse itself amid complaints that federal prosecutions were being complicated and computer searches were grinding to a halt because of the pesky detailed guidelines. The original ruling, with a PDF for you, as well as the new 58-page ruling, required the government to cull specific data described in the search warrant. Imagine that. Rather than copying or taking entire hard drives. When that's not possible, the feds were advised to use an independent third party under the court's supervision, whose job it would be to comb through the files for the specific info and provide it and nothing else to the gov. The ruling said judges should, quote, deny the warrant altogether if the government does not consent to such a plan, in data search cases. However, now Monday's 58-page ruling in a rehearing of the case still excludes the evidence and reiterates that law enforcement cannot use seized material in a computer search that are beyond the scope of the warrant, but the ruling omits the detailed guidance to which the Obama administration had objected. So the Obama administration objected to any type of detailed guidance on how our government, which it isn't, it's been hijacked by international banksters and cartels. The military is their enforcement arm, and the rest of us all placated with the mighty Wurlitzer and media industrial complex. There's so many other angles to this. You can tie in the story about how it's legal for cops to go onto your property and put a GPS device on your car. And it's pointed out, of course, that the wealthy wouldn't have to worry about that because their car is in a garage or behind a fence or behind surveillance. So it's just another case of those who ain't got the capital get the punishment. Our last note on cyberspacewar.com from theregister.co.uk. WikiLeaks will soon post biggest military leak ever. Outdoing itself each time, it would seem, WikiLeaks is just weeks away from posting a huge cache of classified docs related to the U.S. war in Iraq in what one journalist says will be history's biggest military leak. Ian Overton, editor of the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, told Newsweek his nonprofit organization is working with WikiLeaks and several TV and print media outlets in advance of the release, not unlike the time just several weeks ago that WikiLeaks published the secret records concerning the war in Afghanistan, the Afghan War Diaries, when it gave advance copies to New York Times, Der Spiegel, and The Guardian on the condition that they publish the reports at an agreed-upon go time. This airing, Overton told Newsweek, will be the, quote, biggest leak of military intelligence, end quote, ever. What will this show us? What will this lead us to? Unfortunately, the way the whole Afghan War Diaries situation went is that it just pointed to ratcheting up cybercom, ratcheting up fighting the net as if it were an enemy weapon system, ratcheting up the attacks on Pakistan and Yemen and Somalia and on and on. It just continues. It just continues. They fake left and they move hard right. Doesn't matter which party it is, they fake the way their poor followers, like, to use a disgusting metaphor, like battered wives, to keep coming back for more. Oh, he didn't mean to hit me. I just fell down the stairs. I just kept voting for the same idiots who lie and cheat and steal from us over and over again, provenly so. But, as we've talked about, all our little boxes on the hillside, if you will, there's always going to be another one when you step out. There's not one. It's multi-layered. But I digress. So as long as we're talking about the military and all the other related industrial complexes, let's get to the latest war horrors. This is posted up as its own individual post on MediaMonarchy.com. Intel porn and weapon ads. Fortunately, and I can't remember when we gave you the calling off of this story, but it's all been within the last couple weeks and months. But now, Pentagon reopens probe into hundreds of employees suspected of child porn. Under pressure after a series of news reports, again, don't hate the media, become the media, The Department of War has reopened investigations into 264 employees suspected of purchasing child pornography. An official from the Defense Criminal Investigation Service told John Cook at the Upshot, the Pentagon plans to take action against every employee or contractor identified in a four-year-old investigation into individuals who used their credit cards or PayPal to buy child porn from a foreign website. In July, when this story was breaking, Raw Story reported on claims that the Pentagon had failed to investigate, dozens of employees identified as possibly having purchased child pornography. In an investigative report earlier this month, again from The Upshot, found that a 2006 investigation by ICE, known as Project Flicker, resulted in the 264 Pentagon employees and contractors being identified as potentially involved in buying sexual images of children. Of those, the Pentagon investigated 52 and pursued charges against only 10. This is what happens. This is what's going on. And somehow we're all the bad ones. But as we said time and time again, much like bad sci-fi dystopic movies, when all the shit falls apart, the only job will be working for the man, and you'll get to be your own little corrupt little boss hog on whatever little nanny state make-work bullshit job they give you. Snitching on your neighbor, looking in recycling bins, make sure people pay their protection racket, making sure electricity, carbon footprint, yada, 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 on and on and on. They also use this specter of child porn to, of course, ratchet up controls. And again, that's why we started cyberspacewar.com, is that we're watching and waiting and want to avoid and want to spread the word about virtual flag terrorism and a possible I-9/11, a cyber 9/11. But the flashback to Media Monarchy goes back to July. Intel agency workers downloaded child porn on government networks. And it gets worse and more ridiculous. And again, this is our supposed military. Report of drugging on Guantanamo prisoners still remains classified after 1 year. Investigators, again, for the Department of War have for the past year been sitting on a controversial report about the drugging of detainees at Gitmo and other facilities. The report by the Pentagon's IG was completed in September 2009 and shared with members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, but has remained classified. Truthout.org submitted FOIA requests to obtain a copy of the report, but was told the IG's office may not be able to comply with the required 20-day period due to unusual circumstances, which may impact on our ability to quickly process your request. It's that we don't want people to be reminded yet again that the military does experimentally test on not only our soldiers, which, again, even if you buy into all of this war of terror bullshit and think terrorists did 9/11, they don't even take care of the guys who fight. They don't even take care of the first responders. So sometimes they drug soldiers. All on the record. And a lot of times they drug and abuse prisoners. This can all go back to MK Ultra, MK Artichoke, mind control work, Manchurian candidates, staring at goats. It's put in entertainment form to normalize it and make you think, oh, that's just movie stuff. But art imitates life, imitates geopolitics. Veterans suing the CIA and the Army for experiments at Fort Detrick and the Edgewood Arsenal, both pretty much in Frederick, Maryland. Of course, we reported a couple weeks ago on the massive, massive spike in cancer in Frederick, Maryland. Surprise, surprise. Again, when we see all these outbreaks, gosh, where did it come from? Oh, the military lab who created it. And it just happened to get out during a drill or an accident. But interestingly enough, fortunately, this story, veterans suing the Army and CIA for experiments at Fort Detrick in Edgewood, is coming from the FrederickNewsPost.com, from HamptonRoads.com, Navy to test its ability to vaccinate masses in a pandemic. These are the kind of stories sometimes that you're not going to see on the front of national news. You've got to go to those local, smaller sources and find these stories. Because again, you'll find stories back of the paper, back of the internet, if you will, of, oh yeah, Oklahoma, you know, state legislature apologized to all those people they, you know, sterilized with their eugenics operations. Surprise, surprise, Disney and Monsanto, and I think the list goes even on and on and on, discovered among Blackwater or Z's hidden client list. Of course, who's doing this work? Jeremy Scahill, the man who wrote the book on Blackwater. So, Disney, Monsanto, Blackwater, Bill Gates, Goldman Sachs, they're all a part of the overarching multi-generational serial killer secret society. Call them what you want. They're bastards who think they're better than all of us, and they're making us all fight and kill each other while they're sneaking out the back. And that's how war whores roll. Huh. Russia Today, and again, we find so much great news coming from some of the evil, axis of evil kind of countries. When we see news, you know, Al Jazeera and Press TV and Russia Today, are they there to destabilize the West? Probably. Are they covering important news that our corporate controlled outlets don't? Absolutely. If MSNBC was having on Webster Tarpley and all kinds of other folks who I can't name off, and again, don't get me wrong, we don't play follow the leader here. We don't play the infighting game. Who's your favorite star of... We just want information. We just want the truth. But I digress. Weapons ads on the DC Metro, just part of the scenery.
Sea, air, land, and even billboards. The U.S. military is screaming for world dominance from all directions. The insatiable war machine is fueled by over $600 billion of taxpayers' money a year. But as RT's Ganya Chichikan reports, an advert for destruction may not be as unlikely as it sounds.
Nowhere else in the world are multi-million dollar war machines marketed like soft drinks and cell phones. Welcome to the Washington, D.C. Metro. Ads for military helicopters alongside those for a gambling spot. You would think somebody would notice.
No, it's odd that it's such a normal factor of life. Before you mentioned it, I've just stopped paying attention to it.
Drones, combat ships, fighter jets, bragging about defining the future, and nobody seems to care, except for a very few. These ads are targeted at a handful of people who decide on multi-billion dollar contracts. But what do regular commuters have to do with this? They're not going to run and buy a fighter jet. But maybe this does have a certain effect on them. Let's find out.
It makes me think that our country's strong.
If we need it, then we need to get it.
Taxes are going somewhere.
And a big chunk of it. Around a third of American taxpayers' money goes to the military and to contractors who gear up the military. They promise dominance and brag about efficiency in killing.
This ship contributes to a complete maritime dominance strategy.
None of the military suppliers who advertise on the metro we contacted were willing to talk. None would answer the simple question of why bother buying ads for commuters to see when it's the government agencies which spend the big bucks.
Maybe it wants to have people see that and think that's the norm.
Anti-war activists say the money spent on this kind of PR doesn't go wasted.
It reinforces the war profiteer's position and puts it in a positive light when in actuality it's something that is destroying the American economy.
For Capitol Hill observers, the expensive ads are a signal to future decision makers in Congress.
We pay a lot of money for this ad. We think our program's important. We know you're watching us. Understand also that we're watching you. And if you help us out, we'll help you out. And that help comes in the form of contributions and jobs.
But for most, those signals pass under the radar. Nobody deeply questions the ads. And as we can see with Washington commuters, it doesn't take long before what's advertised becomes normal. Ganesh Chagan, RT, Washington, D.C.
And there you have it. Normalizing it. Dancing with the Stars. Military jets. The rest of our war whores updates, intel porn and weapon ads, those were the weapon ads. Again, we've now been reporting this story, and it only grows and grows throughout the years. Who is a big winner in a bad economy? Military recruiters.
because you have massive growing swarms of desperate people whose communities have all been destroyed by design on some level. Nothing else. Unfortunately, as we've seen, you may think you're going to get all this great stuff. Oh, they'll pay for college, they'll do this, they'll do that. But what if they don't? What if it doesn't go that way? I suppose it gets worse as each passing headline. Obama prepares largest arms sale ever, selling $60 billion in arms to our good friends at Saudi Arabia. You know, the folks who were involved in those, I forget if it's 18 or 80-something pages of the aforementioned 9/11 Commission report that were blacked out and no one was ever allowed to see. Selling $60 billion in arms to Saudi Arabia is a win-win deal, according to the Obama administration. The weapons deal, the largest weapons deal ever by the U.S., would create more than 70,000 jobs for the stumbling U.S. economy, and it would strengthen ties with a key American ally and possibly other Arab countries while trying to shore up U.S. policy against Iran in the Persian Gulf. Some Israelis, however, are concerned that those weapons could be turned in another direction. Everybody wants their cut from Team America, because that's the only thing we make. That's our only growth industry, prisons and military weapons. Is that sustainable, to use a hackneyed word? So the U.S.-Saudi deal moving ahead. More on that from the Wall Street Journal, corporate-controlled media outlets. U.S. attacks in Pakistan reach record levels. Surprise, surprise. And let's get this from McClatchy, one of the better news services, not nearly as bastardly as the Associated Press or Reuters. End of combat mission? That's a rhetorical question mark. U.S. Iraqi raid in Fallujah kills six. U.S. and Iraqi forces raided a neighborhood in the longtime Sunni Muslim insurgent stronghold of Fallujah on Wednesday, killing at least six people in the deadliest joint operation since Barry Satoro announced the end of the American combat mission in Iraq 2 weeks ago. Mission accomplished. Awesome. Such good work. So much change. I'm so excited. I'm so glad everybody got wrapped up in the Mad Men Madison Avenue marketing hysteria of the Obamasiah. We love our little soap operas that we can get into and that we can rabble about. But of course, we had the election, and then just a few weeks later, those same people who acted like they gave a shit about what was going on, they were just as excited about the Super Bowl. You get it? And I don't want to be a bastard. I don't always bitch about people. And I don't think I do. That's not what I'm about. At least not on this show. But let's keep the war horse going. And as we've told you from day one, and we can even get it from well-sourced documentations from folks like Alfred McCoy, Politics of Heroin. Drugs fund wars, fund Wall Street, fund our destruction. UK and Canadian troops investigated over heroin trafficking claims, military running heroin smuggling operation.
A British newspaper is reporting claims that British and Canadian soldiers are running a heroin smuggling operation out of Afghanistan using military planes. According to an article in the Sunday Times, a network of British soldiers based at Camp Bastion and Canadian soldiers based at Kandahar Airport are alleged to be organizing the smuggling. A British defense spokeswoman has issued a statement saying, "We are aware of these allegations. Although they are unsubstantiated, we take any such reports very seriously." The CBC has contacted Canada's Department of Defense. It would neither confirm nor deny that an investigation has been launched.
Now, we go over this as our top story on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. And we get this as well as what we love and what we need and what is fundamental to all of these things that we're doing. Here's a little bit of context. So let's go to Cryptogon.com, where his guess is that this story coming out is maybe due to, you know, some upstarts, some new guys who maybe aren't as slick, haven't figured it all out yet. But some of the other things to keep in mind, little flashback links for you. Planned British covert operation included training in farming and irrigation techniques for Taliban fighters. But for the real state-sponsored narco-trafficking program, tons, not a kilo here, a kilo there, look at things like the U.S.-built heroin bridge and Blackwater's quote-unquote aviation support activities in Africa. And if you want to go back to the Vietnam War, again, kicked off large-scale by a made-up event, the Gulf of Tonkin, all wars based on deception, lies. Heroin smuggled in body bags of dead GIs. But we'll take it from The Guardian. Military police investigating claims that British soldiers have been involved in heroin trafficking in Afghanistan. The MOD said it was aware of unsubstantiated claims that troops were buying the drug from dealers and shipping it out of the country in military aircraft. An inquiry is focusing on British and Canadian personnel at airports in Camp Bastion and Kandahar. Security is, of course, now tightened with additional sniffer dogs being used. Need we remind you, Afghanistan is the source of 90% of the world's opium, which connects back to Royal Dutch Shell and the drug running and the families and the foundation-funded fronts and Skull and Bones and all our good friends. Oh, but the CBC has an update for us. Canada's military won't probe heroin allegations. But there's a great bit on wanttoknow.info on the story from Vietnam of soldiers putting drugs in the body bags, shipping them back home to mama. Some drug bosses in Afghanistan have been implicated in this trade. And that's how they roll. That's how it goes. Let's get a couple related drug war updates from BrisbaneTimes.com.au. Government's anti-drugs campaign has a worrying link to Scientology. Concerns have been raised about a partnership between the federal Australian government and a drug awareness group run by members of the controversial Church of Scientology. U.S. agents were in a firefight with a Mexican gang. More on that from our own ABC News. Cross-border exchanges of fire. It's escalating more and more and more. And we're unfortunately, again, looking like a tinderbox, powder keg, something's waiting, something's looking for a spark, some catalyzing catastrophic event. But let's end with a good note on drug wars. As we now kick over to our serious smokers music bed, interestingly enough, Hemp Stalk kicked off in Portland last week. And again, that was one of the things, speaking of our successful 9/11 Commission book burn last week on youtube.com/MediaMonarchy, sending out the press release, I kind of knew that with all the other events going on in Portland and with the hysteria that the media would have a hard time staying away, especially since we sent them a press release saying we're going to be doing this provocative thing. But we had the Hemp Stonk Festival. Not about drugs. It's about, of course, all the amazing things that the hemp plant can do, like we can eat it and use it and ride on it and power cars and make clothes, almost as if it were left here by some kind of amazing god or something for us to use and learn and share and grow from. But no, it's evil, illegal, dirty, dirty weed. So, now I just kind of feel dirty. We started off the show with music from Of Montreal, brand new music from them, their record False Priest. We heard Enemy Jean with Janelle Monáe. But last night, I had the pleasure of going out to a place here in Portland called Jimmy Mac's and seeing jazz legend Les McCann. Seats were great. Venue was beautiful. Nice night. Interestingly enough, my girlfriend actually knows him. They share a birthday, and they go back many, many years back to D.C. and Blues Alley back in those days. So got to see Les McCann and got to meet him and talk with him for a little bit after the show. So appropriately enough, my friends, and this is the quote that we started our show off with, nobody gives us rhyme or reason, have one doubt, they call it treason. Let's take a nice, long jazz break with Les McCann, with a song, of course, that made him famous, Trying to Make It Real, compared to what?
The love are hanging on, we push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what? Is a killing halls, twisted children are killing folks, poor dumb rednecks rolling laws, tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it, trying to make it real compared to what? Come on, baby, now. He's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Have one doubt, they call it treason. We're chicken feathers all without wonder. God damn it, I'm trying to make it real compared to what? Suck you to me. Sunday sleeping nod, trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with fright. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. I'm trying to make it real compared to what? where's that bee and where's that honey? Where's my God and where's my money? Unreal values, a crass distortion. Unwed mothers need abortion. Kind of brings to my old young King Tut. He did it now, trying to make it real compared to what...
The one and only Les McCann. Saw him, met him last night, playing at Jimmy Max with Javon Jackson. They're back there again tonight, but it's going to be squishy. And we're back well into hour number two of this episode 187 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's September 17th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. If we glance at the breaking news on this Friday, September 17th morning, Palin visit to Iowa prompts 2012 talk. And maybe they really are talking about the end of the world. Religion is being marginalized, former Hitler Youth tells politicians on his trip. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. We'd also like to mention all the other great affiliates that broadcast and rebroadcast Media Monarchy, Radio23.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, FROlympia.org, RevereRadio.net, and ZeroPointRadio.com, where we're in the chat room right now, and there are folks in there, such as our aforementioned Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org, talking about a little strategic mental hopscotch. But now, my friends, it's time to get to the massive September 16th news purge, and we call it The Enemy Gene, which was the title of our opening cut from Of Montreal. We're going to get to our econo crash notes first. U.S. poverty on track to post record gain in 2009. The number of people in the U.S. who are in poverty is on track for a record increase on Barry Satoro's watch, with the ranks of working age poor approaching 1960s level that led to the national war on poverty. Census figures for 2009, the recession-ravaged first year of the Democrats' presidency, are to be released in the coming week, and demographers expect grim findings. It's unfortunate timing for Barry Satoro and his party, just 7 weeks before important elections. October surprises when control of the complicit Congress is at stake. Ooh, will it be the corporate-controlled, fake reactionary conservatives? Or will it be the corporate-controlled, phony, progressive liberals? Gosh, I can't wait to find out. And as we've tracked through the almost 4 years of this radio show on praradio.org, one party's in, one party's out, One team is activated and energized, and the other one goes back to sleep. And that's how this phony, fake left-right bird flies. More on our growing poverty, and we, of course, include a photo of a nice growing Sacramento tent city, but more from allgov.com, record increase of Americans living in poverty. But from the controversial Breitbart.com, because they like to upload shady videos that, again, play into the divide and conquer that we see on all these levels, all these things that we talk about. Doomsday warnings of U.S. apocalypse gain ground. And again, no, they're not talking about 2012. They're talking about the econo crash, the controlled demolition of our economy. But a bit of good news from the elite mouthpiece, the Financial Times. George Soros' insider trading case to be reviewed. He is already a convicted financial criminal, and of course he likes to push foundation-funded media fronts with his Center for Yada Yada. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. The taxpayer-owned General Motors, that's right, we all bought it. They broke it. We bought it. That's how it works. They privatize any gain and they socialize any debts. Taxpayer-owned General Motors pays their new CEO $9 million. Peter Schiff was recently on one of the Yakety Schmack money shows. But from the shithitthefanplan.com website, Peter Schiff getting into going out with a bang and talking about Americans using credit cards they can't and in maybe a lot of cases aren't even planning on paying back. So he calls it going out with a bang, but as perhaps somewhere I saw mentioned, is this just a case of as above, so below? Our corporate gangsters have shown us that, hey, what difference does it make if we run up just a bunch of bills? We're never going to have to pay them anyway. Going out with a bang.
I don't know about the charts. I think silver prices are going a lot higher. You know, we still need to go about a dollar higher to take out the high from March of 2008. I think silver is going to go ultimately $50 an ounce, $100 an ounce. I mean, who knows how high it's going to go.
What time frame are you talking about? Because when you hear those sorts of predictions, it sounds sort of off the charts, off the wall.
It could happen very soon. It all depends, I think, on when you really have a collapse in the dollar. I think the dollar index, which is right now trading a little bit above 80, I think it's headed down to 40. Whether it gets there in 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. It just depends on when the world wakes up and figures out what's going on. I mean, the United States right now is completely powerless to prevent runaway inflation. We have set up the banks. We have the banks owning all this low-yielding long-term government debt and mortgage debt. We have the U.S. government leveraged up with short-term debt. Nobody can take higher interest rates. I mean,
Relative value game, and is Europe doing anything better than the United States? I mean, what is your argument? Why should the euro currency, as an example?
The Europeans are making mistakes. That's why the Swiss franc is at a record high against the euro. But I think we're making more mistakes. I think we're easier than Europe. And I think Europe is at least embracing, in principle, some austerity. We're not doing anything. I mean, we're talking about pouring more gasoline on the fire. We want more stimulus. We want bigger deficits. We're trying to encourage more consumption. So I think our approach is more radical. Meanwhile, if you look at Europe as a community, it's a creditor nation. They have net exports.
Peter.
We're a debtor nation. You definitely want to stay away from MasterCard. I mean, any company that's leveraged to the U.S. consumer. Remember, one of the reasons so many Americans are using MasterCard is because they're putting their food on it. They're putting their basic necessities. And I think a lot of Americans...
Hold on, guys. We can only hear one person at a time. Peter, we'll move the ball around.
I think a lot of Americans are so willing to use their credit cards because they're so far in debt, they know they're broke, and they might as well go out with a bang. I mean, a lot of people have no intention of paying back the money that they're using
MasterCard. A MasterCard and a Visa story is brought to light today by Bank of America Merrill Lynch, downgrading Visa to an underperform. MasterCard already at an underperform here at the bank, saying essentially the interchange fees, that's going to be a lid on both of those stocks. So not only do you have the consumer who may be tapped out, but you've also got regulatory environments, issues that could keep the stocks in a range. Brian Kelly, are you in any of these names? Do you think that there is perhaps a chance that a MasterCard, because 50% of the revenue is still international, so leverage to the U.S. consumer, but also exposure abroad?
I'm not in any of those names. I would say that China is as levered to the U.S. consumer as anybody else out there. So to say I would be a short seller of Freeport-McMoRan, although I'm not, and that would be my trade on that.
Right. China is only levered to the U.S. consumer by their choice. They have more consumers than we do. They're working, they're producing, they're not loaded up with debt.
But they
have
still
a much
are.
Bigger market. They just have to turn it on, let the RMB go up, and they will. And, you know, we're levered to the Chinese producer. We're levered to the Chinese saver. If they take away their savings and their production, they're removing all the props from beneath our phony economy.
Let's agree to disagree at this point, because certainly this is a heated conversation.
You may have heard him say that at the very end, they're removing all the props from our phony economy. That's what I just said. And, of course, you heard him mention austerity, as if we need austerity, as if, there just isn't enough money or food to go around to take care of everyone. Yet the war machine goes on, and it's the biggest destroyer, the biggest polluter, the biggest money suck. It's the big elephant in the room. Our last econocrash note in this news purge comes from Tarpley.net. Labor struggles deliver economic progress, not this mythical free market. This is his article extrapolation on his most recent Russia Today appearance that we played a clip of last week when it was Labor Day weekend and we were going through all of those connections. Let's move into a couple quick things under geopolitics from the French agency Press. Ahmadinejad says Iran and Africa wants new world order. Ahmadinejad said Iran and Africa wanted a new world order to replace the existing one, which has been created by slave masters, as he opened an Iran-Africa conference this Tuesday. The mutual feeling is that the world needs a new management system. Former colonizers and slave masters. That's the current world order, created by former colonizers and slave masters to continue exploiting the wealth of African nations. And you know what? He's right. You know, just a side mention here from DODBuzz.com. Israel likely to strike Iran. Nothing to see here. Move on. Another note, again, from readers. And again, send me news tips. Send me things you think I should cover. And again, don't hesitate to leave comments or hop over to Facebook.com/Media Monarchy and get into some discussions there. We post a lot of information there. I had never heard of the Cuban Five. FreeTheFive.org. Free the Cuban Five. And we also give you a link to that. Well, FreeTheFive.org is the official site. And we also send you over just to the Wikipedia page to give you the rundown on the Cuban Five. They've been in prison for 12 plus years for their shady connections with basically sounds like military intelligence operations. They were sent over to infiltrate groups. Sounds like they probably got burned. So more information that we just want to spread out there for you. And again, I appreciate everybody sending me news tips. MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. Into history mystery, my friends, and we get this from MSNBC, and we do have a clip to go along with it, and this is a story we should delve more into. Nearly 40 years before the Barry Satora White House denounced the WikiLeaks website for publishing classified documents, another president, Richard Milhouse Nixon, was even more obsessed with the same phenomenon. Only Nixon and his top aides went to far greater lengths to deal with the problem. They launched an extraordinary campaign to smear and discredit the journalist who, more than anyone else, was bedeviling them by publishing government secrets, and that would be newspaper columnist Jack Anderson. He published Washington Merry-Go-Round.
Immediately after Pakistan's surprise attack on India in December 1971,
Pakistan claims to have shot down 95 Indian planes,
Richard Nixon vowed neutrality. In fact, Nixon was violating a congressional ban, secretly arming Pakistan, a tilt quickly exposed by a longtime nemesis, columnist Jack Anderson.
Jack Anderson was like Ahab chasing after Richard Nixon, this great white whale, and he plagued Nixon from the very beginning of his career, starting in the early 1950s.
Veteran journalist and former Dateline NBC producer Mark Feldstein's book breaks new ground on Nixon's relentless attempts to destroy Anderson. Newly unearthed tapes show the level of Nixon's obsession. Nixon and his aides believed Anderson, a devout Mormon, was being fed classified documents by fellow Mormons working inside the government. One of his key sources was, in fact, a Mormon who had worked at the U.S. Embassy in New Delhi. Feldstein also uncovered new details about a Nixon White House plot to assassinate Anderson. Nixon operative Howard Hunt, before his death 3 years ago, described to Feldstein what they did.
He and Gordon Liddy actually surveilled Anderson, spied on him, followed him in a vehicle, in a Jeep, from his office to his home, staked out Anderson's home, looked at the home to check it out for vulnerabilities, ways to break in so they could poison his medicine.
But Feldstein also writes that Anderson was hardly a journalistic saint.
As heroic as Jack Anderson was in standing up to people in power when nobody else would, he also had feet of clay, and I actually found the checks that he cashed showing he was collecting money from the Somoza dictatorship through its lobbyists while writing stories about them.
The story of the Nixon-Anderson feud shows that high-level concerns about leaks of classified documents, now a top concern of the Obama White House, is hardly anything new, even if they have rarely been taken to such lengths. For today, Michael Isikoff, NBC News, Washington.
And if you didn't catch it, this is all coming from a new book called Poisoning the Press. Oh, yeah, and it was much worse then. We don't do any of that stuff now. A different note for our second history mystery article coming from the Daily Mail, the 1,800-year-old murder mystery. Archaeologists unearth body of a young girl buried with her hands tied. Our last history mystery note I saw in the newspaper. I almost forgot about it. I caught it this morning. I added it to the page. Here it is, Daily Mail. The betrayal of Martin Luther King, the photographer, Ernest Withers. At the heart of the civil rights movement, has now been exposed as an FBI informant. Surprise, surprise. He infiltrated the civil rights movement. And he just happened to be there to take those memorable only photos at the Lorraine Motel when someone other than James Earl Ray killed Martin Luther King. An act of state, if you will. That brings us to Holy Hexes, and they're all related to former Hitler Youth, Joey Ratz, Pope Benedict. Is he the next to last pope? We've got stories from CNN, IrishTimes.com, and the Washington Times. Pope addresses sex abuse scandal as UK visit begins. However, tens of thousands of tickets for the papal visit to the UK went unsold as of a few days ago. And what I have posted up from Washington Times says 5 arrested in London over threat to Pope. However, it's been updated. Now it's 6. British police staged a pre-dawn raid at a London garbage depot Friday, arresting 5 street cleaners in a suspected terror plot against Pope Benedict XVI on the second day of his state visit to Britain. A 6th person was arrested later in the day. Today, Joey Ratz. Can you imagine the type of catalyzing catastrophic event if they let some lone gunman pull something off? And again, all these situations are disturbing. All of these situations are just looking for trouble. But we'll lighten it up slightly before it gets darker as we hit our couple of media meme notes. Unfortunately, sad news. Actor Kevin McCarthy has died at the age of 96. You may remember him, one, from being the evil TV station owner in UHF. However, what he's really known for is his fantastic work in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Stop! You selfish fools! I'm not crazy! Make them listen to me before it's too late!
Listen to me. Please, listen. If you don't, if you won't, if you fail to understand, then the same incredible terror that's menacing me will strike at you!
From another world, spawned in the light years of space, unleashed to take over the bodies and souls of the people of our planet, bringing a new dimension in terror to the giant super scope screen.
It's whatever intelligence or instinct it is that can govern the forming of human flesh and blood out of thin air is, well, it's fantastically powerful, beyond any comprehension.
A cursed, dreadful, malevolent thing was happening to those he loved.
This isn't just an ordinary body, is it?
I never saw one like it.
It looks unused.
The sensational star discovery of The View from Poppy's Head. And now an undreamed of horror makes her life and love a vortex of fear.
Jack!
Miles, where did they come from?
I don't know. Suddenly, while you're asleep, they'll absorb your minds, your memories.
I don't want any part of it.
You're forgetting something, Miles.
What's that?
You have no choice.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spreads as the unimaginable becomes real, the impossible becomes true.
Stop and listen! Stop and listen to me! Listen! Listen! Listen to me!
If you think about it, it's goofy. Pods turn into people. I mean, how do they do that?
There's this underlying universal fear of, you know, creeping zombieism throughout society, or totalitarianism, or whatever ism is getting out of control. You know, that's the body snatchers.
Everyone's afraid of communists taking us over. We're all, you know, and those were the pods. We're all going to become the pod people.
What you're really buying into is the horror of losing your identity.
Where did they come from?
I don't know.
And all you have to do is go to sleep.
The scariest moment in that film, though, is when the whole, they set up the convention that you can't sleep, that the pods will take you over while you sleep. And he and the girl are in that cave, and there's the moment when he kisses her, and he realizes she isn't her anymore. Brilliantly scary. You're next.
That was John Landis there talking about the scariest part of the movie. John Landis, of course, responsible for the deaths of three actors in the filming of the Twilight Zone film. But he talks about the scariest part there at the very end where this girl falls asleep. That's the one fundamental flaw of the film throughout Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The story is that the pod gets placed near you, and when you fall asleep, it emerges and gets rid of you. However, at the end of the movie, all she has to do is kind of nod off to sleep for a second, and she's turned into a pod person. Fail. Our other media meme note, while we anxiously await what I'm sure, hopefully, would be coming from VigilantCitizen.com is the breakdown on the latest occult ritual known as the Video Music Awards, the VMAs. But while we wait from that, there's an article just from the Hoya.com college newspaper. Once groundbreaking MTV hits new lows at VMAs. Surprise, surprise. On to the murder and mayhem. And it's interesting to preface what we're going to go over with this story from CNSNews.com. Violent crime declined as gun sales climbed in 2009. This coming from the FBI. Quote, proof positive that gun prohibitionists have been consistently and undeniably wrong, end quote, from the Citizen Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, saying in a statement. But having said that, let's get to all the strange murder and mayhem, the mass murder contagion that we've discussed so many times here that seems to come in waves, in clusters, copycat effect, if you will. With another update on the dead MI6 spy known as Gareth Williams, who of course had been in the States, connected to the NSA and other intelligence networks. We reported several weeks ago he was found dead in essentially a duffel bag, or whatever they call that, across the pond. And it gets more ridiculous as the weeks go by. Dead MI6 worker Gareth Williams, quote, may have climbed into the bag by himself, trying to spin it as a sex game gone wrong, much like they always do when shady things happen to folks such as Michael Hutchence of NXS or David Carradine. Think that's ridiculous? How about this from the Los Angeles Times? Bag on his head, limbs bound, dead in an LAX restroom. LAPD calls it suicide. And the other shooting spree, mass murder contagion outbreaks, relatives say that SPAT, A spat began the Kentucky rampage that killed six last week. And then yesterday, it was a man in Johns Hopkins in Massachusetts bursting in, shooting the doctor, and then killing himself. It came out later he shot a doctor, killed his own mother in the hospital, and then killed himself. And then this morning, again, as we always see the clusters, and this is the latest I have on this from the Washington Times, officers shoot gunman on Capitol Hill. That was breaking early this morning, September 17th. And I shouldn't be surprised, I guess I didn't give it too much thought, but we did report it a couple of times here last week with our recurring Vancouver meme. Not only British Columbia, but also Vancouver, Washington, which is where the acid attack happened. We reported that to you where a woman had acid thrown in her face by what was allegedly a young black girl threw acid in a Vancouver, Washington woman's face. Then there was another similar yet unrelated copycat event in Arizona. We reported to you last week, authorities investigating both cases. Now it comes out, and it's, again, tabloid from across the pond from the Daily Mail. Bethany Storo was her name, S-T-O-R-R-O. It was a hoax. Acid attack victim confesses injuries were self-inflicted. That's a false flag attack, my friends. See, it doesn't have to be super complicated, fog of war, military-industrial complex, black op kind of shit. False flag activities happen all the time. Like the girl painting the swastika on her door, because she was down with the ADL, and they're all about false flag infiltration provocateur events. Or the feds running Ku Klux Klan groups, on and on and on. Fake. Because for the most part, most people want to live in love and harmony and happiness. But our misleaders need chaos and mistrust and murder and mayhem so they can create the order out of the chaos that they want. Problem, reaction, solution. Generally, most of these hate groups are all totally marginalized. Yeah, they're probably growing because our fake economy is crashing and people need their little gangs, they think, to keep them safe. But once again, it's a hoax. It's a false flag attack. And it begs the question, what kind of person would throw acid in their own face? Now we get to the name we've mentioned so many times, Barry Satoru. That's what's on the paperwork we've seen. Muslim from Indonesia. But he's our Christian President Barack Obama. Surprise, surprise. Obama picks Skull and Bones Council on Foreign Relation crony Austin Goolsbee to head his new Council of Economic Advisors. This would be, of course, all helping bring in new global currencies for the private central banksters. Neo-lib Milton Friedman disciple Austin Goolsbee, yes, G-O-O-L-S-B-E-E, Goolsbee, has been picked as chairman of Barack Obama's Council of Economic Advisors. Goolsbee, pure neo-lib, insider's insider, skull and bones, along with Poppy Bush, W. Bush, and John Kerry, but he didn't go to Chicago School of Economics, but he teaches there. Surprise, surprise. Different party comes in, yet it's the same foundation, connected, round table, think tank, elite, multi-generational, serial killer, mighty Wurlitzer fronts. And just so you know, we are on top of this from the very beginning as we watched the phony paradigm shift before our very eyes. Going back to June 2008 on MediaMonarchy.com, I asked the question, this is as good as it gets, in response to a posting on Wired about, wow, Obama McCain, now this is a really good classic American presidential election. We pointed out there all the connections to Council on Foreign Relations, Brzezinski, Kissinger, Rockefeller, CIA. And we told you right there, Austin Goolsbee was already on his economic advisory, Skull and Bones. And now he picks him to further Council of Economic Advisors. Are you starting to get the picture? Harry Reid adds controversial immigration measure to defense bill. Now that's a way to get it passed, because no one can say no to a defense bill, because that brings the bloody pork barrel military toy manufacturing to our poor blown out ghost towns. Which reminds me, sidebar. And perhaps coming soon, I had a good movie show idea, so more on that sometime later. But I was streaming the History Channel series that you may remember from a year or so ago. I'm sure we even reported about it here. It's probably in the archive somewhere. Life After People on the History Channel. It's now streaming on Netflix, and was checking it out, and it's pretty fascinating, aside from its sort of implicit meme of eugenics and humans are bad and we're all going to be gone. We all need to be taken care of. Oh, that's what it was. Hashima Island. H-A-S-H-I-M-A. Hashima Island, this deserted island off the coast of Japan. It used to be a huge Mitsubishi factory. Now it's a ghost town. That was my sidebar. Whew. Back to Obamasiah updates and all the phony left-right dog and pony show garbage. George Soros front group exploits teenage celebrity to get out the vote for the war party. Doesn't really matter which party. It's all war party. That would be connected to Obama, former Clinton speechwriter David Halperin's campus project, hooking up with Justin Bieber, one of the ridiculous latest. I don't think he's from the Disney industrial complex, but he may as well be. It's all mind control pop garbage. But speaking of stupid teenagers, is the latest threat to the United States drunk British teenagers brandishing insults? This story went pretty viral. Basically, drunkenly, a kid in the UK sent an email to Barry Satoru and called him a prick. He is never allowed in the North American Union. Banned for a lifetime for calling the dear leader a prick. Now, we have elections going on, again, with the fake Tea Party overlay, the completely infiltrated, misdirected group. It started out as a real grassroots thing, connected to libertarians, connected to the Ron Paul movement, Campaign for Liberty, that whole, you know, kind of pro-freedom thing that doesn't really give a shit if you want to smoke something or who you love or any of those kind of ridiculous culture wars. Remember that thing? Yeah, totally redirected, misdirected, Palin, Glenn Beck, all the garbage. They're now winning elections. But when you look at it, they're not running as independents. They're not running as Tea Party people. They're just running GOP. It's a smokescreen. As it all is. But here it is again. And even in this case, we see from Threat Level, from blackboxvoting.org, voting machine errors highlight urgent need for a U.S. database. Because we had 3,221 phantom votes found in Tennessee, and wouldn't you know it, those very locations had last-minute software upgrades, uploads the day before the election. Tempest in a Tea Party, that's what 9and10news.com calls the victory of Christine O'Donnell, and I don't even know off the top of my head what state it's in, but this is reactionary in libertarians' clothing. This is all fake shell game garbage. But the clip that, of course, went viral and everybody loved is the old clip of this woman, Christine O'Donnell, with her insane anti-masturbation campaign that MTV ran back in the night, Real Sex, or Night Sex in the 90s, which I'm sure I watched back in middle school or something. No, I would have been in high school. It doesn't matter. These are all ridiculous distractions. Yes, these people running for positions, acting like they're some new alternative. It's subterfuge and obfuscation on top of itself. Because one, they want to act like, oh, all the shit all just went wrong as soon as Obama got in. No, it's been going on for a long time. He just took the football and is now continuing to run with it. National emergency declarations and all. And the war, and the finances, all those things. It's continued. Only now they can see it because he doesn't have an R after his name. So you have these fake phony Tea Party folks acting like they're some sort of alternative, even though it's all phony, funded, garbage. Vote real, third party, if you're going to vote. So those are all our Obamasiah and the fake left-right paradigm party of war updates. Let's get a few police state updates. Documents show Department of Homeland Security tracks anti-drill groups in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. You know, my friends, we track the military-industrial complex drills quite often on this show because, as we've seen time and time again, sometimes those drills just happen to go live, and the exact same thing that they were practicing suddenly goes real world. The odds are astronomical. But we're running out of time, and I don't have time to get into all of this, but essentially, Homeland Security connected to Pennsylvania, connected to Governor Rendell, spying on groups who even, you know, are dastardly enough to be showing screenings of documentaries called Gasland. But my friends, what does this trace back to? Let's get it from my man Jeff Long of, one, RockCreekFreePress.com, but also Redacted News. This Pennsylvania government spying on protester group story. And again, you thought this only happened when Michael Moore exposed it, when it was peace groups under Bush. No, it still goes on. They can ratchet up the terror with a catalyzing catastrophic event to scare the hell out of you to give up and not say anything. But when the threats are ultimately, as they always are, exposed as being trumped up phony, false flags or aspirational threatagenda, the ratcheted up controls never go away. We're still dumping our water, taking off our shoes like slaves in the airport, even though all those stories have been debunked. This connects back to something called the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response and their $125,000 contract with Homeland Security. Unfortunately, this sources back to an Israeli organization, Institute of Terrorism Research and Response, which, again, unfortunately, gives a lot of the folks the chance to say, oh, it's all the Zionists. It's all the Jews. Just another partisan trap to get stuck in. Has Israel and the Mossad been implicated in many war crimes and false flag activities? Absolutely. But it's usually in conjunction with MI6 and CIA and the ISI. So let's not, again, fall into the trap of fighting amongst ourselves among these racial class divisions. Law would federalize private guards who protect U.S. buildings. That's from the Washington Post, and they, of course, referenced the story of Joe Stack crashing his plane into the IRS building in Austin, Texas. And, of course, he just happened to share a hangar with Homeland Security, and he happened to be an expert in remote-controlled flying, but, you know, nothing to see here. So using that story to federalize the rent-a-cops, what's that going to look like? Homeland Security testing biometric iris scanners at the U.S. border. That's from InformationWeek.com. And again, we test it out overseas, and then we bring it home. Our last police state note, our last note on this massive September 16th news purge, the enemy gene, UK's top cop warns police cuts may cause chaos and disorder.
The warning's being made by the president of the Police Superintendents Association, Derek Barnett. In a speech tomorrow, he'll say that public sector cuts will lead to a period of disaffection, social and industrial tensions. And he'll predict widespread disorder on our streets. Chief Superintendent Barnett will call for police to be spared the cuts to ensure that they can respond properly, professionally and safely with the minimum of force. And he'll underline his appeal by saying it is a fundamental duty of government to ensure the security of the nation. His comments have been prompted by government plans to cut police budgets by 25%. Now, last week, the Police Federation warned that 40,000 frontline police jobs could be cut, and already several police forces have outlined how many frontline officers will have to go to achieve the government savings.
So, there you have it. And that's what's going to happen, which we've speculated on the show many, many times, that even if and when poop hits the oscillator, that a lot of the cops are going to go home and take care of their families anyway. So maybe they're just acclimating us to that, going ahead and slowly pulling away the protections, which they don't really protect and serve that much anyway anymore. They're police officer, policy enforcement officers. Not for the law enforcement. They're there to enforce policies. So that is the massive news purge, and we're down to the last 10 minutes, and we still have a lot to go over. Our final post on Media Monarchy before we jump for the remainder of the show to foodworldorder.com. Media hypes new drug-resistant superbugs. An infectious disease nightmare is unfolding. This is the Associated Press. Bacteria that have been made resistant to nearly all antibiotics by an alarming new gene have sickened people in three states and are popping up all over the world. The U.S. cases and two others in Canada all involve people who have recently received medical care in India, where the problem is widespread. How many deaths the gene may have caused is unknown. There is no central tracking of such cases. So far, the gene has been mostly found in bacteria that cause gut or urinary infections. Scientists have long feared this, a very adaptable gene that hitches on to many types of common germs and confers broad drug resistance, creating dangerous superbugs, which even gets its own Wikipedia entry. So remember that every time you use that hand sanitizer, you're just going to make yourself weaker for when you inevitably come across bacteria and germs. But our related BioWars and ViroHealth updates, oh, wouldn't you know it, from WBZ-TV, family to receive $1.5 million in their vaccine autism case. Sounds like a settlement to me. Sounds like shut up and go away and stop talking about the mercury and thimerosal in the vaccines, among all the other places. However, BusinessWeek.com debunks it all. More evidence that vaccines don't cause autism, because now they say you're just as likely to get autism if you don't. Problem solved. Let's all get autism and never wonder where it's coming from or why, and why it's all skyrocketed. But of course, celebrities get attention, speaking of, you know, vaccine actions. But from naturalnews.com, Gwyneth Paltrow reveals vitamin D deficiency caused her osteopenia diagnosis. Vitamin D. We, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, really need it. Whooping cough outbreak in West Virginia. Release of GM mosquitoes ill-advised. This comes from GMWatch.org. It's a press release, but Bill Gates wants to give us genetically modified mosquitoes. He likes to call them flying syringes, so we can give those folks the vaccines that they need to be sterilized and die in a slow-kill eugenics operation that he and his and other families have been carrying out for several generations now. Professor says Homeland Security confiscated samples and insider info on Corexit for national security. We do have a clip from that, but let's cut it. We don't have time for it now. It was a call, appropriately enough, on National Petroleum Radio, where this guy said, you know, it wasn't the cops, it wasn't BP, it was Homeland Security. They came, they confiscated our samples and our notes, and said national security. If you'd like to get ill, you should look at the photos of the massive fish kill in Louisiana. The waterways literally look like gravel roads. And from Washington's blog, closing off this BioWars EnviroHealth, the Gulf oil refuses to stay hidden. They dumped a bunch of chemicals. That's why it disappeared. They told you, oh, the oil spill's gone. Spill's over. Cleaned up. War's over. Into combat. When they dumped that chemical, the oil hid on the bottom. It dispersed it. You know, like in the old soap, dish soap commercials, when you drop it in and the grease moves out of the way. It's like that. But it's not gone. Quickly now, my friends, let's hop to foodworldorder.com. And our first story we do cover on the latest episode of New World next week, and it comes from WSB-TV. Georgia County sues farmer for growing too much food.
A DeKalb County man will soon be in court for growing too many vegetables. County code enforcement officers say Steve Miller's organic operation was too big for his neighborhood zoning, and the zoning has changed, but the county is still prosecuting him. Channel 2's Tony Thomas live in Clarkston, where Miller is planning to fight back. Tony.
Linda, this is just part of more than 2 acres of land that Steve Miller grows his food on. He says at times through the year he has more than 2 dozen vegetables growing here. Now, neighbors have started calling this ongoing battle Cabbage Gate.
Topography is also nice because it's somewhat level.
Steve Miller loves to grow and talk about vegetables.
It's a passion that I have. And unfortunately, the passion has gotten me into trouble, and I can't understand why.
He's been growing crops here off Cimarron Drive for nearly 15 years, giving them to friends and customers of his landscaping business, and also selling the veggies at local farmers' markets. In January and February, DeKalb County Code Enforcement officers cited him for growing too many crops for the zoning and having unpermitted workers on site.
But really, it's like a big hobby.
Steve says he stopped growing vegetables this summer, and the charges were put on hold as he got the property rezoned. 2 weeks after approval, his attorney says the county began prosecuting the old charges, saying he was technically in violation before the rezoning.
It should go away. I think, I think it borders on harassment.
A county spokesperson tells me since this is in court, officials can't talk about it. When we met with Steve today, many of his neighbors gathered too, in his defense.
I think it's a travesty. I think they should be helping him, not hindering him.
It's a way of life. It's like it's something in my blood.
Steve plans to fight this later this month in recorder's court. He faces up to $5,000 in fines. Live in DeKalb County, Tony Thomas, Channel 2 Action News.
And that's how ridiculous things are getting. We're going to just kind of have to quickly blast through our remaining posts on foodworldorder.com. I implore you to go check them out for yourself. Sometimes you got to see it to believe it. High fructose corn syrup is going to get rebranded. They want to call it corn sugar. Even though the good news is that high fructose corn syrup consumption is at a 20-year low. However, the bad news is that the people who make this insidious sweetener, and no, not aspartame, are basically going to try and change its name. And we see that time and time again. It's changed the name from Blackwater to Z, yet the agenda goes forward. We can change out our leaders from A to B. Somehow the agenda still goes forward. More on that from Live Science. We also have a couple unrelated notes below that. Food donated for animals served in UK zoo's cafeteria to people, and the amazing 12-year-old McDonald's burger showing no sign of decay. And we eat it. Let's go out on a good note. This comes from the Chicago Sun-Times originally, and they're reporting about Portland, Oregon Dine's a la carte as our street food, as they call it, movement has exploded. The food carts, the food trucks. It is a huge growing industry in the City of Roses. With more than 500 colorful food carts adorning Portland neighborhoods, the City of Roses continues to blossom as the food cart capital of the world. Earlier this summer, Budget Travel Magazine ranked Portland number one on its list of the world's best street food. This article basically goes into folks from Chicago traveling to Portland to figure out just how we're doing this. This reminds me, the upcoming episode from Corber Report is I believe it's going to be about urban farming, and we come back to that time and time again, this seeming like one of the main keys to put the brakes on what we see going on. And let's grow our own food. Become our own media, grow our own food. That's going to do it, my friends. We'll have to quickly wrap it up by mentioning some of the creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. I use StatCounter.com to pay attention to some of the interesting hits I get on the site, such as the Rand Corporation out of Santa Monica, California. They're reading the story from a couple years back where the Rand lobbies the Pentagon start a war to save the U.S. economy. We had the West Virginia Department of Education. We had the Boeing Company out of Everett, Washington. They're reading the recent story about UK and Canadian troops running heroin. Of course, the headquarters USAISC out of Alexandria, reading about NORAD, terror drills, Operation Noble Eagle. We had ExxonMobil out of Houston, Texas. They were reading about military running drugs. Xerox out of Louisville, Texas. They were reading about soldiers running drugs. And finally, Deutsche Bank out of the UK landed on MediaMonarchy.com after they Googled Portland Group. which is apparently some sort of consultancy group, but I'd like to think they were trying to find out about the Portland group that burnt the 9/11 commission report last week and got on Coin 6. That's what it's about, my friends. My name's James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show at MediaMonarchy.com. I thank you. I appreciate all your help. I can't do this by myself. Your support makes it happen. Get in touch with me, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com, and we'll keep learning and we'll keep growing. So as always, my friends, don't hate the media. Become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the World Nexus video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.